Blog Talk Radio.
Talk, tune in each and every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time for ways to walk through this thing we call life. Walking the Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to a beautiful Saturday morning, the last Saturday of July. Can you believe that we're almost at the end of the year? I can't. I refuse. I'm going to take each day slowly and enjoy each day for every 24 hours it has. I am not rushing through. It seems like we were just saying Happy New Year, and here we are about to say it again. No way. I'm going to enjoy the summer, the heat, not complain. I'm going to try not to complain and look forward to the kids in Atlanta, the Atlanta metropolitan area, starting school in about a week. A week and a couple of days, they'll be back in school. So all the parents I know are a little excited because they'll have food in the refrigerator. Ha ha. They're a little excited because they won't hear the video games playing and the cartoons and other shows loudly throughout the house. But I feel bad for my ATLians on the highways and byways because you know how traffic is going to get. So prepare yourself. You got a week and a few days. I know that there are some schools that started already. That's crazy to me. It's already crazy that school starts in August, the hottest part of the year. And it's just crazy. I kind of wish that everything would adopt the northern mentality where we start school after Labor Day. It's cooled off a little bit. September isn't as hot as August, except for the best day of the year is in September, the best holiday. Everybody should take a moment to just think about it. September 30th, best day ever. Anyway, I'm so glad that you're here this morning. I appreciate you tuning in. I appreciate your sacrifice. It's early in the morning. I kind of wanted to stay in and sleep in and everything, but I have a word to share with you today, and it blessed me. It really did because of the situation that I find myself in. So I want to share it with you this morning. Today's topic is release brings relief. Again, that topic is release brings relief. And we're going to be looking at Exodus, the 16th chapter. So if you have your Bible, please turn to it and follow along. Lord God, we come to you today thanking you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for setting us on the pathway that you have for us. Thank you for your leadership, guidance, and direction. Today I lift before you those that are suffering physically, mentally, emotionally, in relationships, Lord God. Anything that they're suffering with financially, Lord, I'm holding them up to you, that you may have a word over them, that you will touch them, Lord God. Just a touch from you can set everything straight. Just a yes from you can throw down every no that they were told. So see about your people today. See about your children, Lord. We're looking to you. We're leaning on you for understanding and not ourselves today. Father, we thank you for life. We thank you for living. We will do our best to make you proud of us and to just follow in your footsteps so people can see you in us. Thank you for this segment. Thank you for the moments that I have to share with your people. I thank you that you trust me, Lord God. I honor that you have faith in me, Lord God. Now help me to continue to have faith in you and to listen and not be disobedient, Lord. I thank you for every blessing. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your heart. I thank you for forgiveness. I thank you for another chance. God, you are awesome, amazing. You're wonderful, Lord. Now I hide behind you as you say what you want me to say. Use me as your mouthpiece, Lord God. Allow me to reach your people and reach me at the same time because there's many things that I need your help with. I adore you. I love you. I give you all the respect, honor, and glory due you and then some. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So we're looking at Exodus 16 this morning, and I'm excited because, you know, there are situations that we have in life where we don't always know the full story. We don't always know what's going to happen. And in this season, loss has happened all around me. There are people who have lost jobs. They've lost dreams. They've lost focus. They've lost homes. They lost vehicles. They lost relationships. They lost friendships. They've lost. So I was really, really, really trying to understand this season and asking God for a little insight, some direction, so that it would make sense to me. And God did share with me what I'm going to share with you the next few moments. Release brings relief. And we're looking at Exodus, the 16th chapter. And I'm going to read out of the New International Version, but you can follow along with whatever version you have. Verse 1 says, "The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt." I want to stop right there. So in this part of the story, we see that the Israelites have left Egypt. And I ask that when you have a chance to go back and read what caused this exodus, find out how they were slaves. Remember, Joseph had been called there to save his family and for his lineage and for those to come. Well, there was a new reign in Egypt, and after a while, the Israelites were taken into captivity by the Egyptians and made slaves. Pharaoh was leading, and so Pharaoh wanted to keep them in slavery, and there was a young baby born named Moses. Read that story of his purpose and what he was instructed to do for God's people. God was ready for the Israelites' freedom, and so he rose up a champion. And Moses had his flaws, as we all do. That's why I want you to read the story, because so many times we think we're supposed to get our lives right, that we're supposed to be perfect, that we're not supposed to have any stain, we're not supposed to have sin, that we can't live amongst the people, that we can't be regular and God use us. That is incorrect, because if you look at everybody in the Bible except Jesus, there was no perfect person. Someone struggled with something. And so I want you to get this into your spirit that no matter what you think about yourself, no matter what people think about you, God can still use you. And as a matter of fact, because you're not perfect, he is going to use you. There is only one perfect person, and that is Jesus. Your name is not Jesus. I don't care if your name is spelled J-E-S-U-S. I don't care if you pronounce it Jesus or Jesus. That you are not the Messiah. You are not Jesus the Christ. So you will not be perfect, but God will still use you. Even when your heart doesn't want to be used, because when God called Moses, Moses was in fear. He ran away from Egypt because he had killed an Egyptian, standing up for his Israelite brother, because he found out in the midst of his life that he was not Egyptian, even though he was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He found out that he was an Israelite. And so as he saw an Egyptian and an Israelite fighting, he killed the Egyptian. So he was a murderer, and he ran and hid and didn't want his mistake, his sin, to catch up with him. So when God found him, Moses was like, "Nah, player, I'm good. I don't want to go back. You know, people want to kill me. I'm a murderer. So they want to do to me what I did to the Egyptian, and I'm not trying to go back and get punished. I'm safe. I'm hiding." And a lot of us have that testimony. We're in hiding. We're safe. We don't want to be out there because people remember what we used to do and who we used to do it with. Heck, a lot of the people we used to do it with, ready to tell the story. The devil's ready for our stain and our sin to keep us quiet. And God's like, "I'm looked past all that. I have forgiven it. I need you to ask for forgiveness and forgive yourself and go on, because I have things for you to do. You can't let your mistake, even if it was yesterday, even if it was last night, even if it was this morning, I can't allow your mistake to stop you from getting to a place that I have you to go to. There are things I need from you. You have been gifted. You have been skilled. You have been talented." I say that's not the right context of that word. "You have been given talents to use what I have, and I need you. I have a purpose for your life. I don't care about the mistakes. I've forgiven them." So I'm saying to people today that you have to stop bashing yourself, beating yourself, kicking yourself, and do what God has purposed for you to do. Yeah, you made mistakes. Some mistakes are hidden. Nobody knows, or so you think nobody knows. And there are mistakes that the world knows. People know. Friends know. Family know. So what? God still has use of you. Otherwise, you would not have been born in this time. So I need you to suck it up, get over it, ask for forgiveness, and then forgive yourself, and then do what it is God called you to do. I know that, and I say this at least 4 times a year, one of the best pieces of advice I was given was by my former first lady of the Mighty Sons of God Fellowship Church, Minister Jamie McDuffie. She preached one Sunday, and what she shared was, if you tell your story, the devil can't use it against you. If you say what you've done, if you admit it, if you confess it, and you don't have to confess it to the world, just confess it. Confess it to God. Confess it to your circle. Confess it to your family. Confess it to the person you did it to. Whoever you need to confess it to, but just say it. Then the sting of being found out is taken away because you've already admitted it. And that way you don't have to worry about people coming and saying, oh, I remember. Yeah, I told them about you. Remember that? So when they're trying to shame you, they can't because you've already spoken about it. You've written a book about it. You've blogged it. You vlogged it, whatever you had to do about it. Then what power do they have against you? You take power away from the devil and power away from people when you admit your mistakes, when you confess it. Then you don't have to hide like Moses did. You can go ahead and do what it is God has asked you to do. So anyway, Exodus 16. God has released his people from Pharaoh. He brought the plagues. And I think I'm going to talk about the plagues. I don't know when, but soon. I'm going to talk about the plagues and how they plague our lives and how things come against us, but we're supposed to overcome. But in this situation, the Egyptians could not overcome the plagues. Pharaoh kept lying. Pharaoh kept telling Moses, yes, you could take your people to go worship God. Yes, I'll give you a date. Yes, I authorize the time. And there are people in our lives that are like that. They say they're going to do something, or they say we can do something, and then when the time comes, they renege on their promise. They renege on what they said we could do. And so this is where the story, if you continue to read, you'll find out the plagues came because Pharaoh would not release God's people. There was a fear there that Pharaoh felt that if the people went to worship God, that they would become more powerful, that he would release them. And he was right to feel that way because he knew somewhere deep down that they served a mighty God, just like you do. There are people who are fearful that if you get into the direction that God has for you, if you get into worship with God, that if you spend time with God, that you will realize your power and your authority, and that you will have more power and authority than they have. They can't hold you under their thumb. They can no longer talk down to you because God has built you up. Because God has a purpose for your life, and that purpose may be greater than theirs. So people try to keep you bound. They try to keep pushing you down. They keep trying to overlook you and not acknowledge who you are and whose you are. So the plague came, and eventually Pharaoh let the people go. But when he realized that the people he was getting slave trade from, slave labor from, the people who he had under his thumb because he released them, he realized that he no longer had free labor, free help. He became panicked and said, oh, no, 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 bring them back. Bring them back because I made a foolish mistake. Now my people are going to have to do the work. And there are people in your life like that. They know that they can use and abuse your gifts, your calling, your talent. And so they don't want you to be free of them. They don't want you to get loose. They don't want you to have an opportunity to walk into what God has called you to walk into, because now they can't pimp you anymore. Now they can't use you anymore. Now they can't abuse you anymore. They can't pretend that they're doing the work when it's really been you all this time. Now people will know they don't know how to do it. They don't understand how to do it. They're not skilled, gifted, or talented to do it. The truth will come out. So now they're going to try to get you back. And not only because of your talent, skills, and assignment, they're also trying to use and abuse and pimp you because of your anointing. Don't you know the anointing causes things to happen? It'll cause shifts in the atmosphere. It causes yokes to be broken. It causes a power to come down. And people who don't have that anointing want to use, abuse, and pimp your anointing because they know that's where breakthrough happens. They know that's where blessings occur. So now they want your anointing. So don't always think people want you because you're so fine. Don't always think that people want you because you're so smart. Don't think that people always want you because you just, you know, you got the body of Adonis or the body of a, you know, the brick house, the bad mama jamma. Don't think all the time that it's about you. Look at your anointing and what it does for your life. Other people want what you have, that special thing that God has given you. And they know as long as they're around it, as long as they're under it, as long as they're sleeping with you, the anointing is on and around and in them. And so now they want that. That's some real talk for you this morning. I know you know how we get down. I'm going to be honest with you. All right. So if you bring me to my first point, having this conversation with you goes right into a great segue to the first point. You will be perplexed. You will be perplexed. You'll be confused. You will have some losses this season, and you won't even understand why, how did it happen? Why did it happen? Why did it happen to you? Why right now? Why now? Why not when you planned better? Why not when you saved up more money? Why not when you've had a chance to get your heart right? Why not then? Why now? Look at verses 2 through 3. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." In this season, you have lost a job. You have lost friends. You have lost family. You have lost relationships. You have lost your home. You have lost your peace. You have lost vehicle. You have lost your way. And you're confused because this is not what you had set up for your life. You knew exactly where you wanted to go. You knew exactly how you were going to get there. You knew what methods and what directions to take to get to where you wanted to get to, but there was a shakeup. You didn't do anything, but yet you were let go. You didn't do anything, but you found out that he was cheating. You found out she didn't love you. You were all set to make that payment, and the foreclosure note came on the door with a lock, or the eviction notice was there, and the marshals were taking your things out. You were all set. You knew the plan. You had planned for it. It was going to last forever. Then all of a sudden, the rug was snatched out from you. Can I share something with you? For me, it was a loss of a job. And I had planned my future on how I was going to manage, put together a budget. It was great because I hadn't done a budget in years. Put a budget that I actually stuck to that made sense, that I can make it out and take care of all the things that I had to take care of. It was great. I had also budgeted for my production company, of the things that we were going to do this year based on my income and how I had budgeted, things that I would be able to do and accomplish. I was good. I was golden. Then the rug got snatched out from under me. But here's what I want to tell you. Even though I lost the job, even though the rug got snatched from under me, I had warning signs. I like to believe, and this is in my life, I can't speak to your life, it may be for you too, that God gives me warnings before things happen. He does not catch me 100% unaware if I stay in his presence and if I hear him clearly. If I'm not so distracted and I look at the signs, God allows me to know ahead of time. All of a sudden, things start getting hot and heavy and I don't feel comfortable anymore. I feel like things are happening and it's like I can't breathe. I start questioning things. Things are not comfortable. And here's what I want to share with you. Don't get caught getting comfortable and complacent where you are. Shifts occur when that happens. This thing called faith that we're supposed to have, that we're supposed to exercise daily, cannot happen when you're comfortable and complacent, because then you start doing the careful things. You don't walk out on faith. You walk out on what you see. You walk out on what you have. You walk out on what is right there in your hand, tangible. That's what happens when you're comfortable and complacent. Faith goes against being comfortable and being complacent. Faith is you don't see it, you don't have it, you don't know how you're going to get it, but you're going to do it anyway. Remember what I said? I wasn't walking out on faith. I was walking out on the budget I had set before me, on what I knew was in my account and what I expected to come into my account. And that's because it was my paycheck that I had been receiving. Faith would have been, go ahead, plan and do the thing, even though you don't know how the money is coming. Or what I did was, if something didn't look right in my balance or in my account, cancel whatever it was I was going to do because the money's not there. That wasn't trusting God. That was not having faith. I became comfortable. So I stopped doing the work that God told me to do. I was doing some of it half-heartedly. I wasn't giving him time. I wasn't focused on him. And he gave me two signs that it was coming to an end. I promise you. The first thing that happened, I said, oh, Lord, are you trying to tell me something? The second thing that happened, I said, okay, God. Now, I know my children like to call me a conspiracy theorist, that I don't trust and I'm like looking for the other shoe to fall. But after that second sign, I was like, Lord, talk to me. Tell me. And his answer was, rug pull out from under me. But I can't say that I was shocked. I saw the handwriting on the wall. So it was my job to get prepared for it. I just didn't know when it was going to happen. And here's what I want to tell you. You may be given signs. You may see the handwriting on the wall, but you don't know when it's going to happen. So do what you need to do. Get what you need to get out of whatever it is and be ready to roll with it. There's some definite signs that eviction may happen if you're not paying rent. Or if your lease is ending and they're charging you or want to charge you $300-$500 more than they've been charging you. There are some signs that a relationship is coming to an end when the two of you can't even communicate, when you can't talk, when you are not friends, when you can't laugh with each other, when every time you look at her, she disgusts you. Every time you look at him, you want to roll your eyes and suck your teeth and roll your neck. There are definite signs that things are about to end. And here's what I want to share with you. It's not only comfort and complacency that causes the things to be gone, to be taken, for you to lose things. It's not only that. There are things in your life that are distracting and that are holding you back from what God has for your life. And those things have to be removed because God's will is going to be done. He did not create you with a purpose for JoJo to get in your way from doing it. If you and JoJo can't see eye to eye and you're always bickering, you're always fighting, you're always arguing, and it's taking away from the purpose that God set for you, somebody's got to go. Now, you can choose to walk away, or it's going to happen regardless. Whatever's distracting you, it's going to get removed, especially in this season where God has purpose and plan for his people, especially the underdog this season. One of my friends spoke this into my life last week. This is the season of the underdog, the person who's been taken for granted, the person who's been in the background, the person who's been trying but not really successful in whatever the endeavor was. This is that season, and I believe it because of things I've been seeing that are crazy. Once you just start looking at God, trusting him, and walking in, doors are starting to open, even as doors are closing. God wants you to find your joy again. God wants you to get your peace back. God wants your focus back. So now he's moving aside and moving away things that are taking away from it. Don't be, and here's point number two, you will be protected. You will be protected. Don't complain. Don't be angry. Don't be upset. Don't think it's all over because this door has closed. Don't think you'll never love again because she broke your heart. Don't think you got to be a playboy because
a playgirl because he had 10 and 15 other people. That's not this season. This season is they were not right for you. You were not meant to be with them. So they have been moved away so that God could prepare you for who he has for you. That's the season you're in. You're complaining, running your eyes and running nose and hiccuping, crying and bent over, and you can't go on. And God is saying, baby, I have removed them, or I am removing them. So that way the best can come. You keep praying for the best life, but you're settling for an aight life. Not a good life, not a better life, an aight life. God is like, that's not of me. That's not what I have for you. I have so much bigger, so much better. But you keep focused on this. Remember, our minds cannot even comprehend the goodness of God. God owns everything, but in our minds, we're thinking about what we can see. Let's be honest. Let's be real. And God is like, my better. You can't even conceive it. So you're talking about best. I'm going to blow your mind. Your mind is going to be blown, but you good with this. Listen, let it go. Let me close that door. Let me close the door to that situation, to that friendship, to that relationship, to that idea, to that life. Let me close the door. Let me open this door for you. Look at verses 4-7. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to the Israelites, in the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of God, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Here's my point. You will be protected. You're sitting, complaining, crying, saying, I lost him, I lost her, I lost my job, I lost my home, I lost my car, I lost my health for a few. I lost. And God's saying, I had to make you lose because I had to protect you from what was coming. So often we don't see around the corner, down the street, across the miles. We don't know what each day will bring. You're sitting here crying where you are now, but imagine if you had stayed connected to that person for 30 years. Suppose you went to heaven and God takes you to this closet. And in this closet were all the blessings he had for you here on earth. And he said the words to you, all 15,000 million gazillion blessings that you see on these shows, I was going to give to you. But because you were tied to so-and-so, I couldn't. Now, that's when you need to be crying. When you realize that you could have had better, that you could have lived the best if you just released people, released places, released things, or allowed them to be taken away from you. The hurtful thing is when we hold on, latch on to things we're not supposed to, so we can't get blessed the way we're supposed to get blessed. You know, there are ties that bind us to people, places, and things that need to be loosed. They need to be cut. They need to be taken away, untied. There are soul ties that need to be gone. There are ties to underhanded business, to some career. You chose your career, not God. Some places we worship that we shouldn't even go because God did not call us there. I remember listening to a pastor last Sunday, and he said, the church you're at, you chose that church. God didn't choose it for you. Now, why don't you get into God's presence and let him show you where you're supposed to be? There's so many times we do the choosing. It's supposed to be Matthew 6:33, I'm going to say it for the second week in a row, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You're supposed to seek God first before you even make a decision. You're supposed to ask God, is this the person? Is this the situation? Is this the scenario? Is this the plan? Is this the direction? Lord, guide me. Let me know. But this is what usually happens, and my daughter got on me about this. We say, God, this is the direction we're going to go in. This feels comfortable. He looks like the right one. My carnality is being stroked, so I want that. And what I mean by that, someone pleases you in your lust-filled mind. They look a certain way. Oh, I wish I could talk the way I would really want to talk, but I'm not going to do that to you this morning. When you see her, your body tingles. When you see him, your body shakes and shivers. So you feel, because carnally, fully, they look good to you and you want them that way. But you never take a moment to find out what's inside that package. Do they line up with where you're going in your life? Do they line up? Are you evenly, equally yoked? Are they going to help build God's kingdom, or are they going to look at you and say, I'm sorry, no, don't believe it, and don't want you to believe it either? You have to, in this season, seriously, listen to God, and I'll talk more about that in a second. Point three, you will be provided for. You will be provided for. This season, you're going to be content. Even as you're crying, even as doors are closing, even as people are walking away, even as you're losing, so you think you're going to find your peace again, you're going to get your joy back, you're going to be content. Look at verses 13 through 15 quickly. It says, if I can get to it, that evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." God's going to provide for you crazy this season if you will allow him to remove some people, some places, and some things from you. If you will allow release to happen, you will find relief. Release this season brings relief. Release, release. You've been holding on so tight to that situation and God had to pluck it out your fingers. Now you can breathe again. You've been waiting to exhale all this time and now you can. Those negative toxic people, gone. The negative toxic situation, gone. The negative toxic place, gone. You've been struggling to steal, what is it, to rob from Peter to pay Paul? Now you don't have to. You've been trying so hard up all night long trying to figure it out, you don't have to anymore. God is about to release you from some things that have been choking the life out of you. And he's about to restore you so you will find relief in following the direction. He has already given you some things, but you didn't walk them out because you were so distracted and entertained by these other situations and people and places and things that you could not see straight. Well, God's knocked the blinders off. He's going to allow you to see some people, some things, and some situations for who and what they really are. And you're going to be able to walk out in focus, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and get some things done that you've been trying to get done for the last 10, 12, 20, 50 years. And I have one thing to leave with you. Be careful of being disobedient and be careful of trying to get ahead of God. I need you to look at two verses for me and then we're going to end. Look at verse 20. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. See, what was supposed to happen, if you read the scripture, the manna comes in the morning, and after a certain time, it would melt. You were not supposed to get any extra. You were supposed to get what you were assigned to get, and it was going to be enough for everybody for that day. Every day for 6 days, you were supposed to get enough for your family, or every day for 5 days. Let me say it like that. on the sixth day, you were supposed to get double your portion. Look at verse 27. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Here's why. On the Sabbath, God rested. On the seventh day, he rested. You were supposed to, on the seventh day, rest. Worship God, rest. Be in God's presence, rest. So God said, there will be no gathering of manna on the day seven. You are to rest. You are to recoup. You are to rest. But here's what happened. There were people who were being greedy that wanted to get more than their portion on days 1 through 5, so they would gather extra manna. Well, when the manna hit the evening and they still had it, it went bad and turned into maggots, and it began to stink. On day 6, you were supposed to gather a double portion so that you wouldn't have to gather on day 7. You would be good. Well, there were some people who were being lazy. So they said, I'll get it tomorrow. There'll be manna in the morning. I don't care what I heard. There'll be manna, so I'll collect it. So when they went to collect it on day 7, there was nothing there. Be careful of being greedy and be careful of being lazy this season. Don't get more than what you need and go out and do the work that God assigned you to do when he assigned you to do it. You are not promised tomorrow. There are people waiting for you today. Do not push them off because you want to get 5 more hours of sleep. Don't push them off because you'd rather be watching one of the reality shows and seeing what basketball wife, housewife of Atlanta or wherever is doing. They got theirs, boo. You need to be working like the grasshopper, like the ant, not the grasshopper. You need to be out there doing what it is you need to do to go get your success instead of watching other successful people continue to be successful. Get your lazy butt up and go after that dream and assignment and your purpose like God instructed this season. Don't be greedy. Don't be lazy. Look at verses 20 and 27 if you think I'm lying. For this season, yes, it's the season of those to come up out of all of that muck and mire that you've been in, but don't be greedy. You're truly going to be blessed this season to bless other people. Don't try to hog it all for yourself because you don't know what the next day holds. No, you can't gain anything with a closed fist. How can anything come into your palm if it's closed? You have to have open hand so that whatever comes in can go right back out, because guess what's going to happen? As your hand is open, more is going to come into it. So greed, not this season. Never, ever, but definitely not this season. And laziness, don't be shiftless. Don't you sit on your laurels. You better get it, hustle, grind, get it. That's the season you're in. Stop watching other people have their dreams fulfilled. Let your dreams get fulfilled this season. You got all the tools that you need. I promise you, you do. And as you start walking in faith, even if you don't see it, doors will start to open crazy. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. This is your season. Walk in it. You have been released for a reason. It's for your release. But it's also for your comeback. It's for your come up. It's for you to do what it is that God has assigned you to do. Go on and walk in your purpose this season. It's time. Thank you so much for listening to Walking the Talk Radio this morning. I enjoyed this conversation. I had to fuss at myself because I wondered why. There were things holding me back and keeping me from doing what I was supposed to do. So God released me from them, so I could go ahead and do what he called me to do. And that's your season two. Tune in next week, 9 o'clock in the morning, because we're going to continue to talk about what's going to make our lives better. I appreciate you so, so much. You have no idea. You are a blessing. Being able to talk to you helps me. So I pray that God will bless you this week with insight, energy, and faith. Have a great week. I'll see you next time on Walking the Talk Radio.